Welcome to this month's episode of Pull Up a Chair, an original podcast series produced by CFA Society Boston. I'm Board Chair Sarah Samuels, and I'm here today with Kyle Arrington, Super Bowl champ, former pro football player for the New England Patriots, and founder of the Evolve Foundation. We'll give you a sneak peek of what Kyle will discuss at CFA Boston's annual market dinner on April 3rd. Kyle talks about the lessons he learned during his time with the Patriots, how he is using his time, talent, and treasure to lift up the next generation, and how we can all do the same in our own way. Kyle, this podcast is about bravery in the investment industry and beyond, and we can all learn a lot from you about bravery. You were a free agent for 10 years, which required you to fight and scrap every day, which is really a testament to your gift and talent. You're a Super Bowl champ. You could have retired and lived comfortably by the beach, but you chose to focus on community and lift others up through your work with the Evolve Foundation, which focuses on STEM, mental health, and physical health. You recently donated to Digital Pioneers Academy, which is where we're recording from right now, to establish their first ever football program. This all takes some bravery, which we're going to hear a lot more about. But to kick off our discussion, what was a foundational childhood experience that formed who you are today?
First and foremost, Sarah, it is a pleasure to be with you here today. It just means everything right now to be here with you. It's a full circle, in a sense, experience. When I was a kid and you put on those cleats for the first time, and you think about just the everything that went into it, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the hard work, the broken bones, the hospital visits, the surgeries. It was a door. Did everything up to that point for it to become a door, for it to become a platform. And I think when it all comes down to it is how you utilize that platform, the awareness it takes first, and then the understanding, and then the utilization, and then the attention behind how you use that platform, I feel is what matters. And for me, it was, as has always been, to make an impact on this world in the best way that I know how. And that's just through messaging. I always talk about it's not about the medium, it's about the message. It's not about who I was as a football player. It's not about who I am as an author. Not about whatever accomplishments or achievements that I've done. Not even about the failures, but not even our failures, but not our mistakes. It's, it comes down to our character, our morals, our values. And I think that's where we need a bit more emphasis on in the world we live in today. Foundational childhood experience that formed who I am today. I had this innate gift and curse, if you will. I always felt that I wasn't good enough. And it didn't come from my parents, of course. Like, God, no. I had the best parents, I had the best family, immediate family. Was growing up, dark skin, where everybody else is fair skin. And in my family's kids could be a-holes. So as far as maybe cousin, other kids. And that kind of almost developed into this imposter syndrome, if you will, too, as I got older as an adult. It always would rear its ugly head. But as a child, I told myself that I found the gym early. I was a gym rat. And even I just looked at my 10-year NFL experience as a free 10-year gym membership. And I think the gym just working out, it gave me that inner strength that I needed in order to be able to wear it externally. And even if you look at me today, I at least looked the part where I could play more quarters. I won't say games. I might say maybe quarters left in the tank. But no, it just comes back to, once again, we talked about setting a standard. And even when I go into a weight room now, I don't just go in there, just do a squat or bench or anything like that. I do the same workouts that I was doing when I was playing a professional athlete, because I feel that's the standard. And then once you set a standard, there's no going back from it. And so that childhood experience is just, I say all that to say it was motivation. And I still use that same motivation, whether it is authentic or whether it's fabricated. It's a chip on my shoulder. And that I wear it unapologetically, and I wear it intently as well.
And it's moving you forward. You're channeling it into all kinds of great things. So you played with the New England Patriots for a number of years. The CFA Society of Boston has 6,000 plus members who in the investment community in the Boston area, but this podcast will also have a farther reach than that, but lots of Patriots fans. Can you tell us something that you learned working with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and everyone on the Patriots during your time?
That I have a deep disdain for the New York Giants. That would be the first thing to come to mind. But outside of that, in football, but in particular with Bill, Robert Kraft, and just the entire franchise, I learned that football is transferable. It's transcending when it comes to life. And there's so many life lessons that I learned playing in New England, playing for Robert Kraft, playing for Bill Belichick, playing with Tom Brady, just coming together with a group of men from all different walks of life, backgrounds, race, creeds, ideologies, political beliefs, you name it. But working together for a common goal, because none of those other things matter outside of what that common goal is. And we all, once again, just talking about transference and the world we live in today, we all have a commonality. You know, we all want to be the best versions of ourselves. We all want that life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and whatever it looks like. Everyone's is different, but we all have the opportunity to, we all have the right, I should say, to achieve it, to attain it. You learn getting up when you get knocked on your ass. Excuse my French, but that's, once again, that's part of life. You come across so many roadblocks and hurdles, and it knocks you on your butt sometimes. But we either have two options. We could stay there or we could get up. You learn so many, like I said, life lessons through that experience. And I'm you know, truly grateful for. And it's a lot of the things that I still use, those values and those takeaways that I still use today.
Excellent. So for a lot of people, playing in the Super Bowl, being a Super Bowl champ would probably have been enough. That's the ultimate goal. But it wasn't enough for you. You have a whole second chapter in your life right now where you created the Evolve Foundation and are giving back to communities and lifting others up. Can you tell us about what you're doing with Evolve?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked that question, Sarah. I would say it was maybe forward thinking to begin with. And when it comes to, you have to know what you want. I shouldn't say you have to know, but it's always good to know what you want early. And when I felt like football could be that vehicle to provide, one, a free education, and then maybe a career. And with that come with the hopes and dreams and just the shiny things, I guess, as well. But for me, it was never about that. And I never wanted to be defined by football. I never wanted to be defined by an athlete. I never wanted to be defined by, once again, my career, because the minute you take that away from someone, they become lost. And I know football is such a finite experience in the grand scheme of it all. I was lucky to play 10 years, but guys, it could be 1, 2, 3. If you're Tom Brady, 22, but still, it's still such a small part of your life. And then there's the transition from it. We had a conversation about athletes having two deaths. It's when the career is over, then when you actually die. So for me, once my career was over, and it was over in the blink of an eye when it ended on a severe head injury. But even still then, I was okay because I had a plan. And that plan was to be not only a pillar on the field, but a pillar off of the field in my community. And truth be told, it's been the most fulfilling, most purposeful, and most meaningful work in which it provided me more so than anything football could ever do.
You talk about leading with heart equity. What does heart equity mean?
Yes, that's a coin my manager and I, was a term my manager and I coined, and it means rolling up your sleeves. It means doing the work. It means leaving this place, not just talking about it, being about leaving. When we say leaving this place better than we found it, how do we do that? And once again, that means just putting in the sweat. So there's sweat equity, there's heart equity. But it all comes down to, I gotta just taking a quick pause, just because it's a very, probably all the questions that you asked so far, this one right here, it's very important, extremely important to me. And I'm a person who is very intentional with my words, so I just want to make sure that I'm doing so when it comes to this question. So heart equity at the end of the day means the willingness to plant trees under whose shade you have no intention to sit, which means doing things for others. It means service to community. It means service to others. It means, I think of Maslow's hierarchy of human needs comes to mind. And when they talk about self-actualization, used to be at the top of that list, but then it was self-transcendence, which they've developed after that. And self-transcendence essentially means that the peak is not the person. The peak is something greater. And so when it comes to, for the lack of continue to speak in metaphors, I do that a lot if you haven't noticed, it's the trees and then there's the forest, knowing when to see the difference. I know we all live inside our, we shouldn't say we all live, but we, at time to time, we could live inside a bubble. We just try to protect what we have. As long as I'm good, it's all good, right? Mentality or, you know, a way to go about it. But if the forest is on fire, what do you think is going to happen to your tree? So it's about protecting the forest when it comes to heart equity.
This is a great definition and such an inspiration to all of us. We can all lead with heart equity. For the listeners on the call on this podcast today, what is a call to action that you'd like to issue?
My call to action would be just the awareness and understanding that we all carry backpacks. And what I mean by that is whether it be stress, anxiety, fear, depression, rejection, social inequality, systemic injustices, it's ours to carry and ours alone. And that shouldn't make any man, woman, or child, particularly, especially a child, feel like that should limit what they can accomplish in this life, in this world. And it is my commitment, I think should be all of our commitments, to make the next generation's load just a little bit lighter. And we all doing it in our different way. Therefore, that next generation doing the same thing and so forth, because that becomes then the rubric. And so, yeah, I guess that would be my call to action, is just let's try to make the load just a bit lighter for those coming behind us.
Excellent. My call to action for listeners is to please register for our CFA Boston Annual Market Dinner, where Kyle will be speaking about this in much more detail, and to check out Kyle's foundation's website, which he can tell you about.
Please check us out, all the amazing work that I'm proud that my foundation, my team is doing. You can visit us at www.theevolvefoundation.org. Also on social media at @the_evolvefoundation. Support, volunteer, donate, get involved, or how we like to say, get evolved. Let's all continue to do our part. Yeah, there's strength in numbers. So, pun intended.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Kyle.
Thank you.
And thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of Pull Up a Chair. Join us each month as we continue our conversation with fascinating industry leaders. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. For more information on CFA Society Boston, visit us online at cfaboston.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.